And she says to him, Father, go and see. So he was a good man. His slaves cared about him and his slaves loved him. And he cared about them and he listened to them. She was a slave and yet he listened to her. He went to his king and he said, hey, you know, this girl in my house, she says if I go and see the prophet, he can heal me. Oh, the king sat down and he wrote out letters and he said, go. So the king listened to him. He had the king's ear. The king cared enough about him that he wanted him to go and get healed. And his slave cared enough about him that she wanted to see him healed. And so he took the word of the slave to the king. But because he brought it to the king believed him and sent him to the king of Israel. Who was not thrilled, by the way. Who was not thrilled because he thought, what does he think I can do for him? And so the king then sent him to the prophet. The prophet heard about it and told him, send him to me, we got this. And I love this part of the story, so I want to read this with you guys. Go with me down to verse 8. It says, so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Let's read verse 11. I love this. He sent a messenger. The prophet didn't go himself. He was too busy, perhaps. He sent a messenger in his place. And verse 11 says, but Naaman went away angry. He left mad. He said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so us. First of all, this is what we know about Naaman. We know these things. We know Naaman was a man of power and a man of authority. We know he was a victorious general. We know he was honorable. We know he was a friend to the king. We know he was a man controlled by his emotions. We know he was rich. We know he was sick. I have just described all of us. I have. We are people of power and authority. We are victorious in the spirit, in the kingdom of God. We stand before the Lord honorable, no matter what we've done, because he bestows his honor upon us. Woo, that gets me so excited. We are a friend to the king, to the big king, not just any king, not just a little king. We are a friend to the King of Kings. And yet we are people controlled by our emotions. Everybody's really quiet, right? Oh, I'm not controlled by my emotions. No, not me. No, I got control like iron fist. We are rich in the Lord, and yet sometimes we walk around poor. And we are all a little sick. We have something or other that troubles us. Our spirit, our body, wherever you want to name it, we walk around with sickness. We're talking about Naaman here, and yet it feels very much like we're talking about us. The same answer that was for Naaman is the same answer for us today. We can go to God and he will heal us. We can go to him with whatever is burdening us, with whatever is troubling us, and we can know that he's going to hear us. He's going to take our word. He's going to listen to us and he's going to move. Just like when Naaman went to the king and told him, this is what's going on, this is what I'm told I should do. The king was on board. Okay, let's do it. That is amazing. And we have a king that we can go to and we can say, hey, look, I need this mighty king. Let's do this, mighty king. And he'll be right there backing you. Okay, let's do this. You don't have to be afraid of that army coming after you. You don't have to be afraid of that sickness and disease. You don't have to be afraid of this. Let's get it together. We'll handle this. I'll give you everything you need. Hallelujah. But we're talking about Naaman. We're talking about Naaman. We know these seven things about him. Why did the Lord ask him to dip in the river seven times? This is a story I have known since I was 10 years old. I remember at 10 years old, the Lord gave me this story to teach my Sunday school class of kids from 3 to 5 years old, or 4. And I remember teaching them this class. Different angle, but I remember teaching this story. I've known this story my whole life. And I've always felt in my heart, Lord, there's got to be just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And you know, if we know a story our whole life, we've heard, we've read a verse our whole life, but if we say to the Lord, Lord, I know there has to be something more here. I know there's got to be something deeper here. Do you know what he'll do? He will open it up to you and give you revelation and wisdom. This is what the Lord spoke to me. Seven dips for seven reasons. The Lord said to me, there was a process that was about to take place in Naaman. You know, if the prophet would have went to him and said, okay, we're going to begin a process, Naaman. God's going to put you through a process, but at the end of that process, you're going to be healed. He probably still would have stormed away angry in a rage. And that's a little bit like us too, because we don't want the process. We want instantaneous. Cooking on the stove wasn't fast enough. So they made a microwave. Now you just put it in for 30 seconds, and voila, hot dog hot. Right? Didn't have time to go in and sit down at McDonald's, so they made a drive-thru. That way you can get it on the go. Right? Everything is made to be faster, to be quicker. We don't have to bake bread by hand anymore because the big stores do it. And we can just go buy it. It's much easier. A lot less healthy nowadays, but it's much quicker and easier. And that's how we are with the Lord. We don't want the process. We want it now. I want healed, but I want healed now. But there is something to be gained in the process. The process we go through is very, very important. Because the process takes us where we need to be, in our mind, in our heart, in our body. The first step in this process was humility. Naaman was not a humble man. He was a man used to his way. He was a man who went to the king. He had access to the king. He wasn't humble. He was used to commanding armies. And they did what he said, I imagine. He was a successful general. He wasn't humble. And you know why he got mad when the prophet sent a messenger? The word tells us. Because he thought the prophet would come. You know, the prophet would say something over him, wave his hand a little bit maybe, you know, shout out something, make him get all goosebumpily and, whoo, I felt that. But that's not, hey, I know what you're thinking. But that's not what the prophet did. The prophet sent him a messenger. Well, if that doesn't make a person feel unimportant, what would? I don't have time for you. Here, let my messenger carry it to you. And there was no waving of a hand. There was no looking at his illness or disease. I'll go dip in the river seven times and you'll come out whole. And there went the messenger. And Naaman stormed away angry because it didn't go down the way he felt it should go down. He didn't receive the treatment he felt he should receive. How many times do we get offended because we're not treated how we think we should be treated? I'm not kidding. We do that. I know it sounds really funny now because of the way I'm saying it, I suppose. But it's true. When we go somewhere and we're not received the way we think we should be received, maybe somebody forgot to greet you at church. Or maybe, you know, at the grocery store, you saw Sister so-and-so, and she didn't even speak. She just gave a little wave of her fingers. Well, who does she think she is? She doesn't have time to talk to me. Who does that pastor think he is? Not shaking my hand. I'm a tither, you know. We do this stuff. We do. We get offended when we think we've been slighted. We don't even know that maybe the pastor had to run because he got an emergency phone call from somebody dying in the hospital. We don't even know that the sister only gave us the fingers because she only had 15 minutes because she was on a work break and had to rush back to work. We don't know. We don't know the circumstances behind things, and yet we get angry and offended. Hey, the prophet might have been really busy attending to something important. But Naaman didn't know. But he was angry because he just got a messenger. Now, the result was going to be the same. If he listened to the messenger and obeyed the word that the prophet sent to him, it was going to be the same result. And yet he didn't want that result because he wasn't getting it how he thought he should get it. Is that not us or what? We are that persnickety, aren't we? We really, really are. We are that sensitive and we are that emotional. That those emotions rise up so quick and so fast. And we're already back home without even thinking, what did I just do? He literally walked away from his healing. Because he didn't come to him in the manner he expected. No, the Jews missed Jesus. Because he didn't come to them in the way they thought he should come. How often do we miss him because he gives us a quiet word or a soft word or a word through somebody that we thought it should have been somebody else? So the first thing the Lord was working on in Naaman was humility. He had to humble himself before the prophet, before the messenger. He had to humble himself. But when we humble ourselves, we surrender to something bigger than ourselves. And that's the second thing Naaman had to learn. He had to surrender his ideas. He had to surrender his will. He had to surrender his plan and his thoughts. He had to surrender it to something higher than himself, to what he couldn't see and to what he couldn't understand. The third thing that was of the process that was going on in Naaman was he had to learn to be obedient to someone. And when you're a general and you're a high up, there aren't many people you're obedient to. He might have been obedient to his king, but he certainly wasn't obedient to the messenger that was sent to him. And how often do we fall in that category? We're not obedient. I wish I could stand before you and say, I am always obedient. But I can't, because I'm not. Because sometimes I just don't feel like it. Because sometimes what I want and what God's telling me aren't the same thing. And sometimes I want what I want a whole lot more. You know, the word tells us that we are to love. We are to always love. We are to never give up on love. The word says that love never stops. It never loses hope. It never loses faith. It never stops. But do we stop loving? We do. We do. We stop loving people. We stop loving husbands and we stop loving wives because they disappoint us. We stop loving brothers and sisters, well, because they offend us. We stop loving as easily as we start loving, sometimes easier. And yet we know the Word of God says we are called to love. Obedience doesn't come easily. It is part of a process, part of a purifying that needs to take place in our hearts. The fourth process, the fourth step of the process was unity. Naaman had to come into unity, him, his spirit, his mind, his heart, into unity with the Father, with the King. And when he wouldn't receive the word of the prophet, who is the voice for the King, he wasn't receiving the King. When we don't come into obedience to the Word of God, we are not in obedience to Jesus Christ. And then there is no unity between us and the Father and us and Jesus. Jesus might not be standing here before us like I am standing before you, but Jesus lives in that Word. The Word says He is the Word. So if the Word says it, it's Jesus saying it, and we have to obey it, or we're not in unity with the Holy Spirit. And when we're not in unity, it stops the process. And he had to get into a place where he came into unity to the Holy Spirit, came into unity to the Father, to the King of Kings. And I imagine to a big, rich general surrendering your will and your ideas to the word of a messenger doesn't come easily. The next step in the process, number five, was faith. He had to suddenly have faith in something bigger than himself. All he'd ever had to have had faith in before that moment was in himself, in his power as a general, in his authority as a general, in his army that he trained up, in his men that he ordered to come and to go and to do this and to do that. He had to now suddenly have faith in a God he couldn't see. In a God he didn't know. Do you know how hard it is to have faith in a God you don't know? The body struggles in the process because it's hard to have faith in something you can't see in a world where we have to have everything tangible. We have to be able to lay hands on it to believe it. But we have to come to a faith that goes beyond what we can see. That's not about just what we can see. It's about what we read, what we know. It's about relationship. You know, when you come into relationship with Jesus, it erases that boundary. It doesn't matter if I can't see him. I can feel him. I can feel him. I can feel his presence. I can feel his love. When he pours out his love over me, I can feel it pouring out over me. When he speaks to me, I hear him. I hear him, and I know it's him talking to me. It doesn't matter whether I can see him. You know, I know my husband's voice. In the middle of the night when he cries out in his sleep or in a dream, I hear it, and I instantly wake up and I listen. Is he okay? Is he okay? He had heartburn really bad the other night and couldn't sleep, and before he ever got out of bed, I was awake and knew he was coming out. Because I hear him. Even though I was sleeping, I could hear him. I don't have to see him to know it's him. I don't have to see him to hear his voice. I don't have to see him to know where he is because I can hear him. I don't have to see Jesus because he lives in me and I can feel him. And I know his voice. And it doesn't matter whether my eyes have laid a hold of him or not because I know him so well that I can hear his voice in the middle of the storm when it's just a whisper. I can feel his presence when I worship. When I lift my hands or when I cry out to him, I can feel his presence. I don't have to see him. And Naaman had to come to this place where he accepted there was a God in Israel and he was going to have faith and believe the word of the prophet. The sixth step in the process was rest. He had to come to a place where he ceased to work towards the end goal and he just let God be God. Do you know, we can get so busy working it up that we can miss him. He doesn't need us to work it up. He simply needs us to rest in our own works and let him work. When I came to that understanding as revelation in my spirit, it made ministering to people so much easier. Because when you're a minister in a foreign country, People expect results. Results I could not give them. I have no power or ability on my own to heal the sick. I have no power or ability on my own to cast out demons. I have no power, I have no wisdom of my own to impart a word, a life-sustaining word to someone. And yet sometimes you can feel the pressure. I have said before, sometimes you feel almost like a circus monkey. You know, people start bringing people up to you. Pray for them. Pray for them. You know, the people there, they don't want prayer. They're just standing there. No, I don't want this. I don't want this. And you know they don't want this, but their people want a result so bad. And I'm standing there going, Lord, what am I supposed to do? They don't want this. What am I supposed to do? I can't make this happen. And so when the Lord began to deal with me, hey, take it easy, girl. Rest in me. The results are on me, not on you. It brought me so much peace. And so then I would start to tell people, okay, wait a minute, let's just slow down here. Let's talk to this person. Do you want prayer? Nope, not at all. Are you happy where you're at? Oh, yeah, I don't want any of this. Will you let me pray for you? Whatever you want. Okay, can I just pray for the Lord to open your eyes to Him, to His will? Okay, if you want. And I'll tell the person, you know, this is all I can do. They don't want this. You can't force it. God isn't going to force it. I'm not a circus monkey. I can only do what the Lord lets me do. Naaman had to get to that place where he's like, okay, not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm going to just rest and trust and believe that this God of Israel is going to do His thing and be God. We, as His body, also have to come to that place where we cease to do our own work, where we cease trying to manipulate results. And we do. We try to force results in situations so that we get the outcome that we want. But if we would just instead stand in faith and rest and let God do the work, the results we want would come a whole lot faster. And they'd be better results. The seventh step is completion. That's when the work is done. The work is done. Naaman had to follow through these other six steps first to reach completion. Completion, that moment when what we've sought the Lord for is done. When we receive the answer, when we receive the results of what we've been praying for, what we've been crying out for. Naaman had to go under that seventh time. He couldn't go six and a half. He had to go seven all the way. And when he did and he arose that seventh time, it was complete. The results he wanted, but he went through a process, seven dips, because it was a process. There was something that had to take place in him. And do you know that we are in the middle of a process in our lives? God is working a process with us. And we can't skip step number two. We can't eliminate step number three because we don't enjoy it. We can't do that. We have to follow the process. If you will turn with me in your words. Hallelujah. James 1:22, verse 20 through 25. The word says this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. We have to do what we've heard. We have to follow the word. We can't just hear it Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. We can't just read the words on a page and let it go and think it's good. We have to begin to put what the words say into practice in our lives. We have to surrender. We have to humble ourselves. We have to surrender. We have to become obedient. We have to come into unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son. We have to live in faith. We have to rest knowing that God's got it in His hands. We have to cease to worry and distress and to try to move and try to manipulate things to get what we want. And we have to wait upon His completion of the process in us. 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting at verse 5, halfway down through verse 5, it says, "All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another." Naaman was angry. In a rage, he left because he wasn't treated the way he thought he should be treated because he was a proud man. Do you know we are a proud people? Do you know America is a proud nation? We are a proud people. We don't know what it means to humble ourselves before each other. And if we can't humble ourselves before each other, who we can see, who we can know, how are we going to humble ourselves before God? And we have to humble ourselves before God. The word says further down, it says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Naaman was humbled when he had to dip in that river. It was the stinkiest river. It was not a clean river. It was certainly not as good a river as the rivers in his country. He didn't get it why he had to go to the stinky river, to where the laundry was washed and where everybody bathed. It was a humbling experience to have to go to those waters. It was humbling to have to accept the word of a messenger instead of the prophet. But he submitted himself to the process. He went home in his rage, where his servant girl said to him, "If this prophet had said to you, 'Go and do some mighty act of valor,' you'd have done it. And all he said you had to do was dip in the river." And somehow her tender words reached him. And he turned himself around and went back to that river and dipped not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times. He submitted himself to the process. Hallelujah. And we have to submit ourselves to the process that God is working forward in us. It says, verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." This is talking about surrender. This is talking about obedience. And it's talking about rest. When we give up our anxieties, it brings rest to our spirit. When we cease to fight the process, it brings rest to our spirit. When we cease to strive to manipulate and to control the things around us that we've got no control over, it brings rest. Hallelujah. It says, verse 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Stand firm in the faith. This is obedience. When you stand firm, you're unmovable. You're unshakable. You have come to a place in your faith where nothing shocks you, nothing distracts you from the process, nothing brings you low, because you know that you know that you know that God is in this process with you and He will bring you to completion. Hallelujah. It says in verse 10, "And God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast." 7 dips is what was required of Naaman. 7 dips. That's it. No more, no less. 7 dips to complete the process and to be made firm, to be made new, to be made steadfast. I'll bet when he came up that 7th time out of that water, he knew the God of Israel was alive and real. And then I'll bet you he went back to his king, and his king knew the God of Israel was real and alive. Hallelujah. He became steadfast in his belief of this God that could do such a thing. But we have to submit to the process to get there. And he did. He submitted to the process. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was made steadfast. Romans chapter 5. This is a very well-known book. I want to start at verse 3. It says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings." Really? I haven't met anybody who is glorying in their sufferings yet. Have you? Do you glory in your sufferings? I am. I have been heard to scream, "Oh, glory, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," when I stub my toe real bad. I don't know that that could be considered glorying in your sufferings yet. But it's because we know that suffering produces perseverance. This verse, this is talking about the process. It's talking about things that have to be produced through the process. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance is steadfastness. Perseverance is the ability to overcome, the ability to hold on and not be swayed. You had to go through that process. Naaman went through that process. And when he decided he was going to obey, he was going to humble himself, he was going to surrender, and he was going to be obedient to the process, he became steadfast and determined in what he was going after. When we surrender and become obedient to the will of God in our lives, when we determine that we are going to stand in faith, we become steadfast in the process. And we won't be shaken. I may not understand all that God is doing in my life. I don't understand where he's taking me exactly or what he's doing. But this thing I know, everything he does in my life is for my betterment. It is for me that I might show his glory in every situation in my life. I have determined to submit myself to the process, even when I don't agree with it, even when I don't like it, even when I don't want it, because I know he knows what's best for me, and I can't possibly know what's best for me. Because given my own way, I will make a mess of things every time. Absolute mess. Try something new, and I'll just make a mess of it. But I know that he won't make a mess of me. He won't make a mess of my life. Even when I don't understand what's going on, even when I don't like where I am, if I will humble myself and if I will surrender in obedience to him and to the process, I know that I will reach completion. I will get where I am supposed to be. I will end up where he wants me to be. And that gets me excited, praise the Lord. Perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah. All we have to do is surrender to the process. Naaman was in a process. You and I are in that process. And we have to just surrender to the Lord. so that we can reach completion. Philippians 1, verse 5 through 7 says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Once Naaman surrendered himself to the process, it was easy going. 7 little dips and it was over. And he was whole. His whole life changed in a matter of 7 dips. How long does it take? 1, 2. How long is that going to take? About 10 seconds maybe, if you got my knees or a little slow. 10 seconds. Our process might be a little bit longer than 10 seconds. And God can do it instantaneously. But in the process, there are things that are learned that will never be unlearned. I trust the Lord with everything in me, whether I can see or understand what he's doing. That doesn't matter to me anymore, because I've been in so many situations over the years, so many moments over the years where he proved himself true over and over and over again, that I know, that I know, that I know that he is going to complete what he's begun in me. And I like what he's begun in me. I am not the complete product. I am not the finished product yet, but I like where it's going. I like who I am now so much more than who I was. Yes, I'm not who I want to be exactly yet, but I am on the right road. And that road is surrendering to the King, surrendering to the Lord. Even though we are people of authority and people of power, and we are, and we know the King, and we do, sometimes we're still sick. And sometimes we still need healing, whether it's in our body, our mind, our heart. We all, through the process, or before we even get to the process, we get hurt. We get damaged. We get broken. One of the things that amazed me the most about ministering in Mexico for all those years, 19 years of ministering constantly, almost every week, multiple days a week, is that everywhere we went, every service we were in, it was filled with broken people. People with their hearts just broken. People just filled with pain. People who knew Jesus. And they were filled with pain and hurt and sometimes anger and sometimes hate. Everywhere we went. And I asked the Lord, why? Why, Father, is your body like this? He says, because life is like this. God exists, but so does evil, unfortunately. And we get to choose evil if we want to. He doesn't force us to choose him. He doesn't force us to surrender to him or to the process. We get to choose. And we also get to choose whether we stay in that condition or whether we get healed. Naaman had to choose. He got angry and in a rage left. But he made a choice to go back and surrender to the process. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know where you are in your process. But surrender to the process and receive your answers. Get to completion. Surrender to him. Choose to make different choices. Choose to choose life and not death. Choose to choose healing. You know, in all those years, I never got tired of praying for healing. I don't care how many times the same people came to the altar. I was thrilled to have them come. I was thrilled to pray with them. It never once entered my mind to think, oh, you again. Never entered my mind. Choose healing. Choose life.
choose to surrender to the Lord the things that are holding you back, the things that are keeping you wounded, the things that are keeping you stagnant, the things that are keeping you dry bones. Choose to surrender these things to the Lord and enter into the process. Begin the dipping. Begin the dipping so that you can receive the promises and the healing that is yours. When we refuse to surrender, when we refuse to humble ourselves before the Lord, when we refuse to enter into the process, we're making a choice. We're choosing to stay sick. We're choosing to stay broken. We're choosing to stay wounded. Why? Why be wounded or broken when healing is right there for you? He has healing for you. You simply have to surrender to Him.
Oh, I'm not surrendering to somebody I can't see. Oh, no, I'm not putting my life in somebody's hands like that again. I've been down that road.
He's not like that. God's not like that. He's not some big boogeyman waiting to stomp on you when you're down. He didn't fill the Bible to stop you, like Pastor said, from having fun, but to bring life to you, to bring life to the dry bones. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message in a service, and it was about the valley of dry bones, and the people who were in that valley were also standing at the valley of decision. It's time to choose. We can surrender to the process, praise the Lord, and choose healing, choose life. Or we can stay dry bones in the valley forever. We shouldn't be dry bones. We're the body of Christ. We should not be dry bones. And yet the word said in Ezekiel, in that chapter, the word said that this is my body. This valley of dry bones is my body. But He was calling to His body. He was speaking life to His body. He was causing those dry bones to rise up again and live and be filled with life. And do you know what formed in that valley? An army for God. Stand with me to your feet tonight. We are His army. But before we get to army ready, we have to go through the process. We have to surrender. We have to come into obedience. We have to humble ourselves. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. We have to rise up in our faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have to rest and let Him work in us to reach the answer, to reach the promise, to reach completion, to reach the job done. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment and pray, shall we? Hallelujah. I can't see you out there in Facebook world. But if you're sitting there, if you're hearing this word, and if the Lord is speaking to your heart, wherever you are right now, just raise your hands up to the Lord. And let's just pray together. Precious Father, Lord, my heart screams out, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. I surrender my will. I surrender my way. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender what I think it should be. I surrender how I think it should be done. Lord, I surrender it to You, to Your will. Lord, we humbly cry out before You, work in us. Help us in the process, Father. Work in us for Your glory, Father. Lord, we ask You to give us the strength to choose the right thing, to choose life in the name of Jesus and not death, to make good choices for You, Father. Lord, we ask You to work in us tonight, oh God. Lord, to work in our lives. Have Your way in our lives, Father. Lord, we just surrender it to You. We ask You to move according to Your purposes, to Your will, and to Your plan, Father. Move in me, precious Jesus. Hallelujah. If you are out there and you are seeing this message and you do not know Jesus, oh, let me introduce you to my friend. All you have to simply do is say, Jesus, I choose you. Forgive me of my sins. I need you, my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God, that you were born and that you died for my sins on a cross. Come into my life and fill me with your presence. Come into my life and work in me. Blow new life into these dead bones and have your way in the name of Jesus. If you prayed that prayer with us, I just want to say welcome to the family of God. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are good, Lord. You are a good, good God. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate your viewing us. We appreciate you being here. We're going to close off. And if anybody would like prayer, I don't know what I'm supposed to do at this part. Bye, Facebook world. See you next time.